Enemies, a history of the FBI is the first definitive history of the FBI's secret intelligence operations from an author whose work on the Pentagon and the CIA won him the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. We think of the FBI as America's police force, but secret intelligence is the Bureau's first and foremost mission. Enemies is the story of how presidents have used the FBI as the most formidable intelligence force in American history. Here is the hidden history of America's 100-year war on terror. As a correspondent for the New York Times, Tim Weiner has covered the Central Intelligence Agency in Washington and terrorism in Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Sudan, as well as many other nations. Enemies is his fourth book. He will be speaking tomorrow at the Kerry Center for Global Good in Rensselaerville. And the speech will take place at 6 o'clock. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Tim Weiner to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
It was very nice to have you here a year ago when this book first came out, and now it's out in paperback. You're coming to the region to talk to the Kerry Center for Global Good. I love the name of that, the Center for Global Good. So what does an expert on the FBI have to say on the subject of global good?
Well, I think that we, the United States, have to try to set a good example for our citizens and for everybody else in the world in this very dangerous realm of secret intelligence. We have a struggle in this country, and it's been going on ever since our framers wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, between security and liberty, between national security and civil liberty, between the imperative that we be safe and the imperative that we be free. Just this week, the Supreme Court, in another one of its staggering 5-4 decisions, ruled that basically the government can do anything it wants in the realm of secret intelligence without a judge, without being judged by the judicial branch of this government. Now, we've come a very far way to get to that point from the original intent of the framers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
What do you think happened in the sense of, and I remember asking you this the last time you were on, is there a point where we ever had it right?
Well, I do believe that the FBI, which marked its 100th anniversary in 2008, has been trying during the Obama administration to get it right. But there's a tremendous amount of unfinished business and unresolved issues left over from the first 7 years of our conduct since the 9/11 attacks. We've got situations where the intelligence branches of government, including the FBI, have been spying on Americans. We've got cases unresolved about the infinite detention of suspects in the war on terror. We have not been able to formulate rules for the law of war, including the use of drones, that satisfy really anybody's sense of what the laws of war have been or should be in the future. And we've got to have a debate in this country about how we conduct ourselves. What's going to happen the first time the Chinese used armed drones on, say, people who want freedom in Tibet? Or the Russians use armed drones on revolutionaries and terrorists in Chechnya? Are we going to scream bloody murder? We have to have a debate in this country on this, and we better start now.
When you talk about the debate, what's a good starting point? Because it seems to me, just taking the title of your book, Enemies, is figuring out who the enemies are. And is there such a thing?
Well, of course the United States has had enemies, and one of the reasons, probably the main reason, that the Bureau was formed back in 1908 was to deal with the threat posed by anarchists who, like Al-Qaeda, aimed to blow up people and blow up the symbols of American power without having any program of their own that resembled political change. And it seems that every generation or so, we go through a life and death struggle in this tug of war between civil liberties and national security. It happened after World War I. It happened after World War II during the Cold War. It happened again in the Nixon administration, where President Nixon basically ordered J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI and the CIA to spy on Americans without telling anybody, without telling any judges, without telling Congress. And then President Bush tried to institute, and did for several years, that very same plan, 30 years after Nixon fell. It is a constant struggle we have as Americans, and in fact it is our duty to engage in this struggle, to try and get the tug of war into balance between liberty and security.
Just by its very nature of being a secret intelligence operation, what do we as citizens in this debate, what do we have rights, what do we have a right to know, and what should indeed be kept from us?
We have a right to know what's being done in our name, in the name of national security overseas. We have a right to know what the rules of engagement are in the struggle to keep this country safe while preserving our civil liberties. You know, no terrorist can destroy this country or our Bill of Rights or our Constitution. Only we can do that to ourselves. And American citizens who want to be a free people had better try and arm themselves with the information that gives them the power to command their elected leaders.
How much of it changes from administration to administration, and how much of it remains steady? In the sense of what the agency is and what is a cultural history and a cultural set of rules.
Right.
And how much can fundamentally change upon a new administration and a new sheriff in town?
It really depends on who's president, and it really matters who the head of the FBI is. And the guy who's the head of the FBI now has been there for 12 years. I bet one American in 100 can't name him. His name is Bob Mueller.
Yeah.
And he took office, God help him, on September 4th, 2001. And Mueller, I would say, has been the first FBI director, and there have only been six since Hoover died 40 years ago, to try and get this right, to try and calibrate this balance between liberty and security. Because the guy has a pretty strong moral gyroscope, and he knows what the law and the Constitution is. And it was he, Bob Mueller, the head of the FBI, and he alone, who confronted President George W. Bush in the White House in 2004 over the immense and illegal and unconstitutional scope of his program of spying on Americans, using our foreign intelligence powers and precisely the National Security Agency's electronic eavesdropping powers to spy on Americans without any judicial review, without telling Congress. Mueller confronted Bush and said, "Mr. President, this program exceeds your constitutional powers. It's illegal. And if you don't step it back, if you don't scale it down and get it within the ambit of the law, I, the head of the FBI, am going to resign, and I'm taking the Attorney General of the United States and the Deputy Attorney General with me." Well, of course, what went through President Bush's mind? He writes in his memoirs. He saw that he would be impeached, as President Nixon was, if this were revealed, and he did scale it back. Now, that is a use of power by the FBI director, really unprecedented in our history.
So define the relationship now, as far as you're concerned, between Robert Mueller and President Obama and his administration.
Pretty good. I mean, Mueller is limited by law to 10 years in office, but President Obama asked him to stay on, and Congress said yes. So he's now done 12 years in office, and he will step down, he has said, in September, only 6 months from now. The search is obviously underway, but the number of people who are both qualified to do that job and who are willing to do that job is vanishingly small.
Which I assume would always be the case, right? I mean, you're never going to have people who are who are going to be primed for something that's that difficult.
Well,
and have that skill set.
Yeah, we are still living in some ways in the shadow of J. Edgar Hoover,
yeah.
who ran that institution for 48 years and who has been gone for 40 years, but who cast a very long shadow. This is the man who invented the modern national security state, the surveillance state, the systems of espionage against Americans, of wiretapping, of bugging, of breaking and entering into people's homes without warrants. We are still trying to come to terms with the immense power that the Bureau has under law and beyond the law, which is a place where it has gone time and again over the years. But Mueller has tried, and I think valiantly, to use the awesome powers that are handed him and to stay within the limitations of the law. We may not be so lucky the next time around.
Are you optimistic that, even though the list is a short one, that there is someone out there who can continue this legacy, if you will?
You know, I do have faith. In the spirit of Winston Churchill, who once said, "The Americans will always do the right thing after exhausting every other possibility." And
they'll find the door after they run into enough walls.
That's right. And I do believe that we will try to do the right thing. And I do have a modicum of faith that this president understands what the Constitution is, unlike his predecessor. And yeah, I think they'll try and find someone who's willing and able, but that list is very, very short.
Do you think most people, as you've been going around the country and talking about this book and talking about the FBI, do you think most people have a firm grasp or an understanding of what the FBI is? And aside from Hoover,
the myths of
what it is, what it does, and its importance in our balance as a democracy and as a society.
I think that after 9/11, anybody who reads a newspaper, of course that number is probably not growing,
right,
understands that the FBI is first and foremost a secret intelligence organization. Anybody can catch a bank robber. Anybody can catch a car thief. The Bureau's primary mission is, and always has been, secret intelligence, gathering intelligence by the traditional means, including wiretapping, eavesdropping, and breaking and entering, on the real and potential and suspected and sometimes imaginary enemies of the United States.
Tim Wallander's new book is Enemies, A History of the FBI. He'll be speaking tomorrow at the Carey Center for Global Good at 6 p.m. in Rensselaerville. You can find out more information by going to careyconferencecenter.org, careyconferencecenter.org. And again, Tim's book, Enemies, A History of the FBI, is now out in paperback. Tim Wallander, a great pleasure to have you on the program, a delight to have you in our region, and I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning.
Very great to be back with you, and I'm looking forward to being back up in your neck of the woods.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.